The relationship rule. The relationship rule is a special rule that makes family life not only tolerable, but enjoyable, pleasurable, safe, loving. It's a rule that says, I only give and I only accept respectful communications.
A corollary of this rule is I do not give and I do not accept abusive communications.
Notice that this rule is for parents and children, where it says, I don't communicate in a disrespectful way, and I won't let you communicate to me in that disrespectful way. This message is so important for parents to convey to their kids, because if we can teach our children to always be sensitive to the feelings of other people, even when they themselves are upset or enraged or disappointed or hurt or insulted or any other kind of state, if they can always keep in mind that the person that they're talking to in their family is somebody that they love, somebody that they care about, somebody who's made in the image of God and who deserves respect for that alone, then their lives will always be filled with love. A person who can communicate respectfully, even when they're feeling upset, frustrated, irritated, annoyed, that person preserves and saves and shelters his or her relationships. My stress is not an excuse for your abuse. Sure, maybe I'm unhappy. Maybe I'm overworked. I'm tired. I'm ill. And I'm fed up, okay? And if I release these feelings, sure, I'll feel better for a moment. But not for long, because I'll be destroying all of my important relationships. If I'm in the habit of just letting it hang out the way I feel it inside of me, then that momentary stress relief will be paid for by the price of the loss of love in my life. Too big a price to pay. That's a price you don't want your kids to have to pay. So your job as a parent is to teach them the relationship rule. I only give and I only accept respectful communications. No matter what I'm feeling, no matter what you're feeling, I only give and I only accept respectful communications. When you do that, when you teach that rule to your children, your home will be emotionally safe for them to grow up in. You'll be teaching and modeling healthy relationship skills, skills that they'll be able to draw on all throughout their own lives, for their own marriages, their own parenting, and their own work and social relationships everywhere that they go. You'll help your child have a set of loving relationships his or her whole life long by teaching them the relationship rule. Now let's notice that it starts with your model. It says, I only give and I only accept respectful communications. I do not give, nor do I accept disrespectful or abusive communications. Let's just define our terms here. Disrespectful or abusive communications are hurtful kinds of communications, things that we don't like to receive. We're all pretty common around here. We don't like to be yelled at. We don't like to be insulted or have ourselves called names. We don't like to be treated with hostility, sarcasm, put-downs, hurtful words of any kind. Well, if we don't like it, then we know that other people don't like it also. We don't like to be yelled at, I said, or talked to with bad language or any kind of hurtful words at all. Now, we can't teach our children not to speak to us like that if we're doing some version of that to them. It just is impossible. I mean, this is just common sense. If you're yelling at your kids, you're not going to be able to teach them not to raise their voice to you. If you are, heaven forbid, swearing at your kids, then you won't be able to stop them from speaking in that way to you. Maybe they won't use the words you use. They'll use some other set of words. But the general idea of what you do will be what they will do, perhaps worse than you, but in the same department. You need to be able to say things to your kids like, I don't slam the door on you, don't slam it on me. I don't hang up the phone on you, don't hang it up on me. Even things like, I don't roll my eyeballs at you, don't roll yours at me. You know, I don't use that tone of voice with you, please don't use it with me. It doesn't matter that your child is a teenager or having, you know, hormone issues, or that your child is under stress from your recent divorce, or that your child is having whatever issues with fatigue or health or whatever. There is never an excuse for your child to speak disrespectfully to you. But your child will do that if you speak disrespectfully or conduct yourself in disrespectful ways towards your child. So, of course, we have to clean up our own act first. Now, a lot of us are not perfect, so if we do make mistakes in this department, what we can do is tell our children, we're now instituting a new rule for our family. And the rule goes like this: I only give and I only accept respectful communication. And you could say to your children, I know that I sometimes speak disrespectfully to you. Sometimes I yell at you, sometimes I'm sarcastic, sometimes I put you down, and all of this is unacceptable. And I'm going to begin working on this right now to stop communicating in those ways. If you find me communicating in those ways, I welcome your feedback, but please give it to me respectfully. Say, Mommy dear, or dear father, you know, is it possible that you're using an unacceptable tone of voice or that you're calling me names right now? You can just remind me in this gentle way, and I will immediately correct myself and endeavor to do better. It may take me some weeks or some months to get this totally out of my system, and I expect it will take some weeks or some months for you to get it totally out of your system. We'll grow together as a family. So that's what you can do if you yourself are currently in the habit of speaking in a disrespectful tone of voice or using disrespectful words or behaviors to your kids. You can just make it a family affair, work on this project together. But many parents are actually more respectful to their kids these days than the kids are to them. In other words, though parents used to be the abusive ones, now it's often kids who are the abusive ones. So let's say that you are perfectly, you know, respectful. You're always speaking nicely to your children, but they're opening a very big mouth to you. And this can happen whether the child is 3 or 13 or 23. It's just the child has gotten into a habit of speaking in a disrespectful way. Interestingly, in Judaism, the definition of respect for a parent is spelled out in one of the Ten Commandments, the law about honoring parents. And it says that there, that a child must always speak to a parent in a pleasant tone of voice. And a child can ask a parent something, but a child is not in the position to tell a parent anything. Now, this is interesting because if a child was taught to ask but not tell, the child would automatically be in the most respectful tone of voice at all times and in the most respectful stance at all times. Let me explain this. People of all ages don't like to be told what to do. We don't like it when we're kids, and we like it even less when we're grown-ups. When we tell people directly in order, do this or do that, it gets their backs up. On the other hand, if we just ask them, would you mind doing this? Could you please do that? Would it be possible for you to do such and such? Then that simple way of turning the request into a request instead of a command causes people to feel instantly more cooperative, more wanting to please us. So this rule that we want for the children of learning to make their request true request instead of commands, by asking and not telling a parent anything, for the first 10 years, the second 10 years, the third 10 years, the fourth 10 years. This applies, you know, to the 10th 10 years, as long as we have parents. We're not supposed to tell them anything, but we can ask them in a respectful way. And this will develop a habit that becomes totally natural of asking everybody, not just parents, but eventually it'll be that your child is speaking to his or her spouse that way, and to his or her children that way, and to his or her friends and relatives that way, so that all of their relationships will be enhanced. So these two parts of the rule use a pleasant tone of voice always. That is, no matter what kind of mood you are in, no matter what kind of feelings you have, remember that you are talking to another person who has feelings. And you want to be sensitive to those, to the feelings in the other person. So always use a pleasant tone of voice. On this point alone, some people would take issue. They would say, look, we're human. Sometimes we're grumpy and irritable. Sometimes we're furious and upset. It's not human, it's not reasonable to always use a pleasant tone of voice. So I'll grant you this. Maybe once in a while you're going to slip up. But people who don't even try, who don't make it their rule, they're not going to slip up once in a while. They're going to slip up every day of their lives. And in doing so, they're going to harm the relationships that are supposed to nurture them. We push away people who could be loving us by being careless in this way. So yeah, let's say once in a while, we will slip up. We'll grant ourselves the ability to be human and to make a mistake, but our goal is to always speak respectfully, because every time we're speaking to another person, that person has feelings. That person is reacting to us. Love has to be built sentence by sentence in every relationship. When we're being hurtful to people, it's always a boomerang. We hurt them, and then we hurt ourselves because we're damaging our relationship. It's our relationship with our spouse that gets damaged when we're careless. It's our relationship with our child that will be damaged if we're careless. So let's be careful to use a decent tone of voice even when we're upset. And we're going to teach a child to use that tone of voice with us. And we're going to teach a child to ask us rather than tell us anything. Now here's a question. How are we going to teach a child to do all this? There are 5 steps. The first step is literally called teaching. And it occurs in a teaching moment. That is a time when the child is not making a mistake, is not misbehaving, is not having trouble. But a time in which the child is relaxed, a time in which the parent is relaxed. That's what we call a teaching moment. This could be a story time, it could be with a young child, it could be a dinner time with any age child, it could be just relaxation time, just any time where you can take a few quiet minutes and introduce the relationship rule and give plenty of examples to the child. If the child is very young, you can use dolls and puppets to illustrate conversations. If it's a school-age child, you can do some role-playing with the child to illustrate conversations. We want to illustrate the right way and the wrong way of responding in communication. And if it's a teenager, we can have discussions, we can raise examples, we can have the child give his or her reactions. And if it is a teenager, keep in mind that that age child has been possibly speaking the wrong way, shall we say, the disrespectful way, for 12 or 17 years or something. And we're going to have to be patient with that child, as we would need to be patient with ourselves if we've been speaking or behaving in less than respectful ways our entire lives. We have to be patient with the change process. However, if you start right away when your kid is 2 years old, that is the easiest time. The child is just beginning to talk. Let's get her to talk right from the beginning. Now, in these examples that we might give a child during the teaching stage, there's 3 types of examples that are very common. The first one is in which a child asks a parent something and gets an answer that the child does not like. For example, the child says, "Oh, Mommy, can I stay up a little bit later tonight to watch the movie?" And Mommy, who's been observing this child's exhaustion during the week, says, "Oh, not tonight, sweetheart. I'd rather you go to bed on time." And then the child, not liking that answer, starts getting what I'll call verbally abusive, insulting the mother, getting loud, whining, just being obnoxious. The child says, "You never let me. You. I asked you before, you said you wouldn't. Now you didn't. You never let me. You're so mean. I hate you." Okay, that sort of thing. A lot of problems with that kind of communication. Remember, all feelings are acceptable, but not all communications are acceptable. All feelings, like being upset or disappointed or frustrating, well, they're just feelings. They're okay. But speaking in a loud, hurtful, insulting, name-calling way, that is not acceptable. So a parent could give a child this example and say, "Now that's the wrong way. What would be the right way?" And then we go through it again with the puppets or with the role-playing or with whatever. And the child says, "Mommy, could I please stay up later tonight to watch that movie, just a little bit later past my bedtime?" And the parent says, "Not tonight, honey. I think you've had too many late nights." The answer is no. And the child says, now in the correct way, "Oh gosh, and walks off, okay? That could be one way to end it. Type B. The child just, you know, finds something displeasing to himself, and it communicates that in an unpleasant way. For example, the child is hungry, looks around the kitchen for something to eat, but doesn't find anything, and shouts out to his mother, "There's never anything to eat in this house." Now, that is a statement instead of a question, and it's spoken in a harsh, loud, unpleasant tone of voice. Is it the worst communication that the child could ever make in his life? No. But when people speak like that to each other, they get on each other's nerves. That is not a love-building type of communication. And we're trying to teach the child the relationship rule so that the child will always have love in his or her life. So I only give and I only accept respectful communications. So let's say the child didn't find anything that he liked to eat in the house. He could simply say in a pleasant tone of voice, using the ask but don't tell rule, "Mom, would it be possible for you to get some food that I like in the house?" And if he says it that way, Mom will probably be curious and willing to cooperate. "Well, what do you mean, honey? What kind of food would you like exactly?" You know? So that pleasant way of communicating elicits cooperation and love at the same time. Type C, Mom makes a request of the child, and the child doesn't like the request. For example, it's a little bit cold outside. As the child is leaving, Mom says, "Oh, honey, please take your sweater with you today." The child says, "I don't need it." Now, again, is this the worst kind of communication you've ever heard? I hope it's the worst kind, but probably it isn't. So we would say that there's a problem with the communication because the child is telling the parent instead of asking the parent. This is going to grate on the parent's nerves. If the child says, "Oh, Mom, would you mind if I didn't take the sweater? I don't think I'll need it." Again, the parent is more likely to feel cooperative and loving towards the child. "Well, if you're sure, honey." Or the parent might say, "Well, you know, I'd feel more comfortable if you do take it." No matter what the parent says, the parent will feel more comfortable with the child. For a child to say to a parent, "I don't need it," or even in a nice tone of voice, "I don't need it," just making that statement, means that the parent is put out of her position, not in the right place. As a child practices turning statements into questions, the child is practicing a skill that will make her a truly respectful person with everybody. Even in marriage, you know, if a wife said to her husband, "Oh, darling, you might want to take your scarf today, it's cold out." And the husband, you know, just says, "No, I don't think so," or "I don't need it." It's not as music to her ears as something, you know, more tender or comforting, such as, "Well, thank you for that, sweetheart. Thank you for that suggestion, sweetheart. Would you mind if I didn't take it? I think I'll be okay." It's just so much more loving to put everything in that question format. So we can run a million examples by the child in the teaching stage. Teaching might last one night, two nights, three nights, 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, as many weeks as you need to make sure the child knows how to answer the question, what should the child say in this example? So you can make a whole bunch of examples, make them up with your kids, and make sure that the kids know what the child should not say and what the child should say. When you think that the child understands the relationship rule, which is that we need to be respectful at all times, and that the way we do this is by speaking in a pleasant tone of voice and by asking, not telling, then you can move on to the step two, which is called remind. So now when the child makes a communication error, you'll remind the child about the rule you just learned and how to use it. Now, in practical life, the step before, just before you get to the teaching part of your communication here, the reminding part of it, you're going to want to acknowledge what the child said. Let's go back to example A. The child says to the parent, could I please stay up a little bit later tonight? And the parent says, no, honey, not tonight. And then the child says, you never let me, you're so mean, you promised you wouldn't, blah, you know, like that. Just before the parent goes into step two with reminding, the parent will acknowledge what the child said and acknowledge the child's feelings. So the parent, using something like emotional coaching, the parent might say something like, oh, I know, it's really frustrating, honey. You're really, really upset with me because I've said no and you really want to watch that movie. I understand you're not happy with my answer. Period. Pause. Now on to the reminding phase. Do you happen to remember how we said that a child should respond when they're not happy? Do you remember what we said about a pleasant tone of voice and about asking and not telling? Do you remember how we might say, like, oh, you know, and maybe even asking here, Mom, please, would it be okay if I promise to get up tomorrow? You have to just, you know, try asking, instead of making statements. Now, we have something I like to throw in on the reminding stage, which is the 1 month free introductory offer for remembering to use the relationship rule. That is for remembering to use a pleasant tone of voice and asking, not telling. And if you haven't remembered spontaneously, even if the parent reminds you and you try the communication again and this time you succeed, I would still try for the parent to change her mind, say, you know what, you asked that so nicely. Yes, you can stay up a few minutes later tonight. And now let's go on to the third step of the five teaching steps. It's called prompting. Prompting is just a little bit shorter than the reminding phase. So instead of the whole speech, remember what we learned, remember how we did it, remember what you're supposed to say, you know, instead of repeating the whole thing, we may just say a word or two or three. So we might use in the prompting phase, tone of voice, or was that a question? You might pick both of those if necessary. Tone of voice, question, you know. And that would be what we call a prompt or a hint. Again, we'll start the prompting with emotional coaching. So if the child said, there's never anything to eat in this house, there's nothing for me here, then the parent might start off with acknowledging what the child said and emotionally coaching it, saying something like, oh, you sound really upset, honey. That is frustrating. You can't find anything to eat? Oh, gosh, I know what you mean. That's not too good. Was that a question you were asking me? So, you know, said that way, what we have is, first of all, the emotional coaching part, then the period and pause, and then the actual prompt. Was that a question? Now, we might do the teaching, like I said, for a week or two. We might do the reminding for another week. We might do the prompting for another couple of weeks. And then go on to step four, which is called blocking. And in blocking, we don't do any more emotional coaching, no more understanding, no more teaching of any kind. All we do is we say, excuse me, or I beg your pardon. And the reason we can get away with that at step four is because we have spent already about 8 weeks teaching what we want this child to do. So the child should know by the time we get to this point, that was not a pleasant tone of voice or that was not a question. Now, instead of being stuck at, excuse me, for the rest of our lives, we will eventually go on to step five, And eventually means like, well, you can stay at step four for as long as you feel that you'd like to give the child the chance. So that could be a month or 2 months or 6 months if you want to. But once you get to step five, there's no going backwards. Step five is actual discipline. And we say at step five, well, I think you know by now that we don't use that tone of voice. Or I think you know by now that you're supposed to ask a question and not just make that statement. From now on, when you speak in that way that's not respectful, such and such consequence will immediately happen. And then I'll refer you back to the lecture on the two times rule or on discipline to fill in the blanks for how you're going to do that, or check it out in the book, Raise Your Kids Without Raising Your Voice, which explains in detail how to do all of these rules. So that is the relationship rule done in five steps. Take your time, think about it before you start it, because once you start it, you are going to commit to respectful communication in your household for the rest of your life. But it'll be worth it. You'll have lots and lots of love.